Hello and welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is sponsored by TNT Pen Company and Outright.ai and supported by Caisson Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, Be Your Strongest Combination. I get to do a show live with somebody who I've met a long time ago, and if you're in the Boston area or if you're into photography and news and media, he is a true legend, and this is just a special day. This is a great way to take a day off and have some fun. I'm just so excited right now. I can barely contain myself, but calm down. I am with Pulitzer Prize winner, Boston Globe photographer, and current project manager for his new project about veterans. We'll get into that. Bill Brett and his, can I call you a sidekick?
Sure.
Sidekick, please, Paul do. Doyle, who is an artist in his own right with poetry and other things and keeping Bill in line. Gentlemen, welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. It's great to be here with you both. I have, you know, when I first moved to Massachusetts and I'd get the Globe on Sundays, I would see your work in the Boston Globe. And this is before digital cameras really got going. I'm like, how does he do that? Because I'm doing good, just get the shot steady. That's still where I'm at. But as I've gone on, I saw that you were out in the community more and more. So just for my guests and people watching, kind of tell us how you got into photography, and then we'll go into this amazing book about Boston veterans.
Well, I started very young. I was in high school. I started a camera club in high school as one of the founders. And from high school days, my brother Harry came back from Germany, and he served in the Army, and he brought back a Agfa camera. It was one of the first film cameras that I was able to use. I was told just to look at it. And I handled it well. And a friend of mine introduced me to his dad, and he purchased a beautiful Rolleiflex camera, and I ended up using that. And I had a nice Yashica camera. The difference between Yashica and Rolleiflex, Rolleiflex was a Cadillac, the Yashica was a Chevy. So I went up a couple of grades. And to get out of high school, I was very fortunate to get on as a part-time photographer at the Boston Globe. And by the time I was 20, I had a full-time job. And I was the youngest. I was like a kid there because most of the men, it was all men at the time, all served in Korea. A lot of them were Korean. Some were World War II guys. And I was just that kid that used to get coffee for them, and I was the apprentice. And from there, I just went, everything just mushroomed for me over the years. I was very fortunate to cover some, I was 18 years old. I covered JFK's funeral in Washington, D.C. And I never left Dorchester where I grew up. I mean, it was an amazing story. And as I went through life, I had a front row seat of history. I covered some major events, you know, snowstorms, World Series, you name it, inaugurations. The Pope inaugurated when Cardinal Law got his red hat in Rome. I was there for that. It was just, you know, I was there for a lot of beautiful events, and I was very lucky because every day was a gift. It was a front row seat of history. And as I tell my children, if you find what you love, you don't go to work. And that's how it was with me. And every day was a blessing.
So you've loved it from day one?
From day one, yeah. From day one. And my whole career was at the Boston Globe. And, I had just been published just recently. My 60th year, I had a photograph published in the Boston Globe. I don't think there's anybody on the Globe that can ever say that they were published 60 years. And these are pictures that where I've taken a Party Lines is a feature I started in the Globe. I started a social column in the Globe, and then I started a wedding album in the Globe. I mean, I was really lucky because they gave me a lot of freedom to do what I wanted to do. And as a result, I met some wonderful people. And as I said earlier, it's a front row seat. And when I took an early retirement, I had 38 years on the staff, and it just didn't go. They kept signing me contracts for other events. And I was just able to document my first book was 20 years ago, and I've got 8 of them since then. People of Boston, men and women, all walks of life. And I think it's important to document these men and women because they've done some wonderful things. And my the latest book that I'm out with now is it's a salute to the veterans, the men and women who served our country. And it started off as a project and ended up as a mission. And it was one of the most joyous times of my life, because to listen to some of these men stories that they and women, what they had to tell me, it was just fascinating. And I was very lucky. I had, as I call it, my sidekick, Paul Doyle, who was able to be with me for this journey. And he loved interviewing these people. And I'm all done 10 minutes, 15 minutes, my photo shoot. And I had to say, Paul, we're ready to go. Yeah, just give me another minute. And that was a full-time job, kind of yanking him out.
So
and,
who was managing who, Paul? Because you all took a picture of me. It's actually in the book.
Yes.
And, you know, you come over and you do this. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I thought you were going to go this way and you wanted a different kind of look. But you really started building the bridge between the veterans and us before Bill got there. How did you get involved with Bill in the first place?
Well, we were having coffee one day at Dunkin' Donuts in Weymouth. And Bill said, I said to him, what are you doing today? He says, I actually have to take a ride up to Beverly. And I have to interview this guy and take a picture of this guy. I'm doing a book on veterans. He said, you want to take a ride? I said, sure, I'll take a ride. And off we went. And I think it was an assisted living place. And the fellow's name where Bill was going to photograph, his name was Larry Kirby. He was in the Marine Corps in the 1944, 1945 in the Pacific. And we got there, and he recognized who we were right away because Bill had the camera around him. And he was across the room, and he came marching across. I said, look at this guy. He was 93. And so I shook hands. He gave me a firm handshake, and we got the photo. And I started asking him some questions. And it turned out he was on Guam. And he received a Silver Star on Guam, and then he came back, and then he went back again and fought on Iwo, and received a Purple Heart on Iwo Jima. And out of 200 men in his group battalion, there was only 8 that survived, and he was one of them. And when we finished, we came back, and we got in the car, and heading back to Weymouth, I said, Bill, you got any more of these? And that's how it started. And 3 years later, it was a joy. What a joy that was to interview and research and do all, and some of the nicest, greatest people I've ever known. Just wonderful.
We met at a book signing.
We did
at a book party.
Oh, that's right.
That's
a long
how
time
we met.
I was with the Irish Cultural Center in Canton, and I did all the author readings and signings for a number of years. And I got Bill down several times, and his earlier books. And we hit it off. We got friendly, and that was 25 years ago or so, you know, yeah. Close to it. And we had.
So this is not a small book.
No, it's the biggest book I've ever done.
This has heft to it. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it weighs 4 pounds. 4 pounds.
Well, being the Marine that I am, I'm like, you know, I could put this on my coffee table.
Yeah.
And if an intruder came in,
I could use it as a weapon. Sure.
Yeah. But I'm looking at this book, and there's some people here I recognize. And I just, what was it like going through making your list and then bringing their story to life through film?
Well, it started off slow, and then the word got out to a lot of people through Facebook and Instagram that I was looking for veterans in the Boston area, south, north, west, that served our country. We didn't put specifics, you know, where do they serve? It was just if they'd like to participate into this book. And it just kept growing. It just kept growing. Somebody would tell me about him, her, and then I go visit the one. And there were some that backed out. They didn't want to be in the book. My own brother, Harry, served in Germany, and he didn't want to. But he said, I will help you get people for the book. But I'm not really. He's a very quiet guy. He just wasn't him. I said, it's okay. But I did trick him. He's in the acknowledgement, so I got his name in the book anyhow. And it was just when I meet somebody, some backed out for different reasons. And when I got to talk to them, I understood. And I'd say to the word appreciation means thank you. That's all I'm doing. It's an appreciation book. And once people understood that I did X amount, it made it easier because they felt better about it. You know, And, you know, like some of the men said to me, I don't know if I belong on a book with Medal of Honor recipients and Silver Star recipients. Well, to win a war, to be in, everybody has to participate. Not everybody is a general. Not everybody wins, you know, would not win awarded the Medal of Honor. And it's like a company. When you build a company from the top, you just have a good CEO. But if he doesn't have a good team down below, he doesn't make it. And the military is the same way. You know, it has a, we're all looking at it after each other because we want to make this successful. And as I talk to different men and this and women, Millie Cox, who just passed away recently, I mean, I was so inspired listening to this woman. I mean, she was 100 when I photographed her. I mean, just an amazing woman that had a great story to tell. And, you know, then the oldest person in Pearl Harbor is in the book. He's 106, lives on the Cape, and there's only 10 left from Pearl Harbor. He's the oldest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing on some of these men and women. And I went down to him. I gave him a book. I presented a book to him about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And I went to his house, and it was like, he couldn't believe it. He says, I'm in the book. You made the book. It goes like this. And I opened the page for the book, and he was, he had tears in his eyes. He really, it was very moving. And he said, I don't know how to thank you. And there was one example, General, it was a captain, Tom Kelly, is a recipient of the Medal of Honor. And he called me a week ago. He was in Duxbury at a friend's house, and he gave him this book. And he called me, and he was so moved on the phone. He said he's the only one alive in Massachusetts. And he was there with Tom Hudner, who was with them. He passed away a couple of years now. And he was so inspired. I mean, he made me feel so good. And he said, it's the nicest project. If anything I can do to help you with this book, I'll be with you. I mean, coming from a man of what he's been through, and very low-key guy. He's from Somerville. You know, it's just amazing.
One of the things that I just want to go back is you're doing this and you're mobile. You have to go to people's houses. Photographers are going to want to know, like, what kit do you use and how do you haul your equipment to get the shot that you want? Are you still refining your craft, or
when I go into a house, I have to look around. I was where the light is coming from, what's in the background. I study where I am. It's a commitment to look it over. And once I feel like there's the picture, and Paul was with me many times with a reflector.
With the reflector.
Yeah,
the
reflector was always good because it helped the window, the light, give me more light into the subject. And I wanted moody pictures. You know, I wanted something that these people are going to remember. And I'm pretty quick at it because I can size it up fast what I want to do.
We took a photo. Bill took the photo of Paul McLaughlin. He was a retired Boston Police Department bomb squad detective. And we went out there, and he's retired, but they drove out the bomb squad truck, and there were two young cops there on the bomb squad. And I had this reflector in my hand, and Bill kept saying, you got to catch the light. You got to catch the light. And I said, Bill, I'm trying. And this is when I first started with him. I'm trying. And one of the young cops said, maybe if you turned it around to the reflecting side,
it might work
out. The light. And I said, I was just testing you guys.
Yeah, just testing how observant you were.
Yeah, how observant. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. He was a Marine.
Yeah, he was a Marine.
And he was a detonator in Vietnam.
Bango. Paul McLaughlin, great guy.
And now he continued his whole career in the Boston Police and the bomb squad. Is there anything else he did? It was an interesting group of men and women. When I came to their homes, some of them had a lot of people in there, one in Hull. You would think that I was, the president was coming to their house to take their picture. When these men said to me, you come to take my picture? I mean, they were like honored.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever took my picture. I mean, it was nice. It was a nice feeling.
Well, for me, I'm like, why does a Pulitzer Prize winner, Boston Globe photographer with a storied history, want to come and take a picture of me? I didn't believe it. I'm like, there's just, come on.
But the Pulitzer Prize was, I was part of a team. It wasn't just me. It was a whole team we won it for. And actually twice, I was nominated twice. And it was when I think of, you know, the things that I was nominated and I did win. I'm the youngest photographer, the youngest and oldest, as they call it, Ransdell Trophy. It's for Spot News. It's given to the best picture. And I was 20 years old when I won it, and I was 55 when I won it. So I'm the oldest and youngest
How about that?
To win the Ransdell Trophy. And that's Well, that's pretty good.
But this is where the teamwork came in, because Paul's like, hey, you know, we've met, I met you guys in Somerset, you know, taking pictures of the veterans down there for the breakfast. We've met at the New England Center and Home for Veterans Gala. You've come through there and taken pictures a couple of times and other events. And you're like, you've got a voice. We want to capture the essence of that. And, you know, to your point, Paul, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to want to take a picture this way. I got it all set up. No, I don't like the light. We're going to take it this way.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? And then I look at it, I'm like, okay, yeah, he was right. You know, that's the way.
Well, light makes it is a very important, you know, factor in making a good photograph. You got to have the lighting. If you get the right lighting and you get a subject that works with you, like on Saul, you know.
Oh, Saul. Yeah.
The light was just it's in the book. It's just barely hitting his face, just his eyes. And it tells a story, and you look at it, and people are going to say, what is this guy?
Great photographs.
Yeah, there's some nice photographs in there that have made me very proud. And, you know, this General Dunford, I have to give him credit. He said to me, Bill, he says, you're going to be inundated with a Marine Corps luncheon. There's one of them that people would, because you know a lot of these men, why didn't I make the book? And I thought you and I were friends. And your answer is, I called you, I left you a message, and walk away. The only times I had to use that expression, I use it every day. People say
it got going. Sure.
It got going. Yeah. And they say, and I'll never forget the Marine Corps luncheon, this one, Jimmy Wise, he was a Marine, and he's sitting at the table, him and I are friends, and he gets up, he says, Bill, how come I didn't make the book? Oh, a couple of the other guys sitting there, I thought he's a friend of yours. He is, I thought he was my friend. So I said to him, Jimmy, I called you and I left you a message, and I walk away, and they're all saying, well, he called you. I mean, it's up to you. And I said that so many times, and it works.
Even today, we read the Globe, and there's a lot of veterans in there that have passed away, and Bill would say to me, I'd say to him, how do we miss this guy? Or how do we miss this person?
Yeah.
But there's so many.
Yeah, there's so many, but there's less and less of World War II guys now. It's only a handful now around here. There's not many of them.
Well, one thing I want to ask you, growing up in Dorchester and South Boston and being from this area, and I didn't grow up here, is I moved here and I was surprised at the sheer number of people from this area of Massachusetts, this area of the country, who served our country.
Yeah, big time. It's a.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting now, Dorchester, there wasn't, to the best of my knowledge, there was nobody that became a general in Dorchester. Quincy had 9 of them. 9 people for grew up in the city of Quincy, which is small. 9 men became, you know, the generals, you know, admiral or general. I mean, I don't know. It's a good question, you know, that they were able to gravitate to this. Now in South Boston, 29 men at the Gold Star Park in Vietnam. Most of them were Marines.
Yep.
And there's a picture in there. I invited all the ones who served from South Boston. And how many showed up?
Oh, there was 30
to 40 of them
40.
All showed up, who all went there and came home. It's in the picture.
That's a great
picture. It's a nice picture of these men and women. And it's just fascinating. I don't know what the answer is on that, because when I talked to Tommy Lyons, now he started this thing, you know, it just kept mushrooming. I remember him telling me about this 40 years ago, him and a group of guys, 2 or 3 guys, were going to put a monument over there. And that just mushroomed, you know. And Tommy Lyons is only a corporal. But he's got the best Rolodex of any corporal in the military or reserves or whatever it is. He can call a general up tomorrow, you know, an admiral, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And they usually get back to him.
Easily.
They do.
They better.
They better, yeah. Well, he's a good man.
Yeah, I know. He
does some good things.
Good
and he's very proud of, you know, what he served. And a lot of his buddies never made it back from the class, you know, the high school class, all from South Boston High School.
You take all these pictures to create this gift of appreciation. I gotta wonder though, like out of all the thousands of pictures you took, how did you all decide which ones to actually put in the book?
Well, that was it took time. I had a great designer, photo editor, designer, writer, an editor. We try to narrow it down to the best. And some of them didn't make the book because we lost a few. There was power surge on the computer. So there was maybe about 5 that should have been there, but they disappeared. And it was hard to, you know, we had so many, they could fall through the cracks. And we were able to, we went back and forth on it, you know, which ones we're going to use because of why. And it was, you know, I want to mix it up. I didn't want them all from Dorchester, South Boston, to Quincy, wherever they're from. I tried a geographic, you know, put a book about men and women from different areas of the Commonwealth. And I went back and forth. I have Sean Goss as my lab man, and he was like, well, you should make this one bigger because he's more important. Well, they're all important. That was the whole thing. And but some of the bigger ones, because graphically they were nicer pictures, and some of these people photograph better than the other person. So to get them all in there in a book, at some point I had to shut it down because it's 284 pages.
By the size of the book.
I said, this thing has got to, you know, this thing will never come out.
That could have been 8 pounds.
It could have been 8 pounds.
Right. Yeah. This is a... Yeah.
And if the thing is, and it's in conjunction with the 250th anniversary of our country, so the timing was good. I actually wanted it last year, but, you know, got a slow process. But it came out this year, which I was thrilled, you know, because it's a celebration of the country and it's a celebration of, you know, thank you to the military. So, I mean, I was really honored to do it, and it was good. I mean, I have no complaints. It's been, of all the books I've done, this is going to be the bestseller. This thing is moving quick. If different people want me to speak, and you know, they once you hand a book to him, I hear, "Oh, I got to get one for my brother, my uncle." It's, you know, just, which is great, because everybody has a story to tell about a military person, and I lost 20 of them have passed away since the project started. Wow. The average age was late 90s.
All of World War II guys.
All World War II, and the first question the family would tell me, or ask the question, was my grandfather, my uncle. Does he still make the book? He photographed him. He was interviewed.
He made the book.
Made the book. And I said, and they were so thrilled. That would be a piece of history for our family.
Well, that's the thing. History, you know, I think about this project as I'm looking at it, and I always wish we could have gotten more stories from World War One veterans.
Mm. Yeah. I don't see any of them. You know, they're hard to find.
Oh, they're gone.
They're gone. But there's also very few stories about them. And Korean War veterans are hard to...
Yeah, too. Yeah.
And so I try to tell veterans I talk to that, hey, to your point, you all matter. Your story is extremely valuable.
Yep.
So how did you sometimes bridge that gap? Because some of us don't want to talk about it at all.
Well, that was a problem.
There's a poem that I wrote that's in the book at the beginning. And it says, and part of it, one of the lines reads, a lot of them came back and were ready to talk about it. And then there were others. It was very rare. And I was fortunate enough to get some stories from a lot of these
that the families didn't
guys,
even, didn't
that
know.
The families didn't know.
They and, opened up to
and
them.
Some of these would tell me, because I was sincere, I was truly interested. And but there were others who just went about, they went out, they did their job, they came back. They didn't look upon themselves as anybody special or extraordinary. Came back, raised their kids, grandkids, and moved on with their life.
Yeah.
And when I think about some of these stories they tell me, and I say to myself, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But they did. The greatest generation.
It really was the greatest generation. They were able to do that.
In all the war, including Vietnam and Korea and even the Middle East, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the Middle East, you know, they went through, they all went through something.
Yeah.
And as I, you know, when I talk to these men and women, I go, it's amazing how they, you know, they're functioning. They function. They had families, as you said, you know, and they had, some of them had great careers. But when we started to talk to some of them, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, you know. And then all of a sudden they start talking to them.
Yeah.
You know? And the families would be in the other room. And they're all looking through the door of the grandfather. What is he saying?
Yeah.
And they'd say to me, I didn't know anything about that.
Have you gotten any feedback from, say, you know, so you have a grandfather who's telling the story, that child and their grandkids, you know, hey, you know, Bill, Paul, I got the book and I read the story and, like, I didn't know that about my grandparent.
Yeah, I've had that.
You've had that?
To me. Yeah, I've had a few of them say that to me. And they were so proud that their grandfather, grandparents are going to be in the book. And now we can have it for our generation, for my children, so I can have a show what their father, grandfather went through. And it was just an interesting time with some of them because they, you know, some of them just didn't want to talk. And we were able to, Paul, the way he's handled them, he handled them so well that they wanted to tell their story. And nobody asked them about it. Yeah. So we were there to ask them and photograph them.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Paul is a very talented poet. Had a chance to read some of his poetry. Where did that come? Where did that part of you come from?
That's funny. I don't know. I have no idea. I started writing some things a few years back, and as I said recently to you before we came on air, that I've been having stumbling a little writer's block lately, but I don't know. And a lot of them were well received, and some weren't. But I don't know. I just thought I liked doing it, and I never wrote anything before. And I wrote when I was writing the captions, you know, with Bill's book, and I said I kind of like doing that, and I said maybe I could put a few things together, and I wrote that poem on Veterans Appreciation, yeah. And that came out okay, and I started writing. And I did a couple of a World War II poem and a World War I poem and veterans home come home, you know, veterans and then a lot of other humorous stuff. I try to write a lot of humorous stuff.
You started off at 4 pages, end up at 60. I said, just you have to do that.
Nice. Yeah.
And, as I said, General Dunford was kind enough to do a beautiful foreword. Admiral Hall, are you familiar with Admiral Hall?
No.
He's from New York. He has a podcast. He was decorated. He was in charge. I think he was the commander of the USS Eisenhower for a while. And he had some big commands. And he asked, my daughter is friendly with them, and he said, I'd be more than happy to do a blurb. He's just on the back of the book. And I told him that, General Dunford, he said, you don't need me. He's an interesting man. He's got a podcast. He's got over 1 million people followers.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing this for a while. It's all over the country.
General Dunford wrote a beautiful
forward. He did a beautiful
really
forward.
Did. Really
and the did. Dedication is to my late wife who passed away. That my granddaughter, who's 22 now, when her parents got divorced, she lived with us for a number of years, back and forth. And she did this dedication to my wife because she felt that my wife was more than a grandmother. She was like a mother to her. I mean, they were very close. And she passed away, I say, recently, and my wife got to see the dedication. It was just beautiful. And all the kids were in the room, and she's reading the dedication. And I said to my wife, this book got delayed because Morgan, her name was Morgan Hurley, wanted to do two more pages about you. And my wife's laying there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's plenty, you know.
So let's just say I'm in a bookstore or at a book sign. I see this book, Boston Veterans Appreciation, and I didn't serve and I have no family connection at all. But I pick it up and I start going through it. What do you want that person to see or feel as they're looking at your work?
I think that person will be surprised what information is in there about, even though they don't have any family and the military, I think they'll get a good feel for it and say, wow, these men and women went through, we have to thank them. I mean, I think, I talked to several people who have no family in the military and they have the book and they said it was just so inspiring to read about these men and women and thanking them. Because they made it possible so we can walk around in freedom. And sometimes we take it very lightly that, you know, it's like nothing. But it is important, you know, and it's important to know your history. And the schools, I've been invited to a couple of high school classes.
Oh, really?
After the Labor Day. They have classes, I was surprised, you know, and it's called Veterans Appreciation Classes, to talk about the veterans. And they asked me would I come and talk about the book. And I'm moved by some of these young people that want to know about it. Right now, they know nothing about it. But as I tell them, to one of the teachers, when I finish the class, they'll know something about it.
Well, I've always believed that's important because they're going to be making laws, they're going to be deciding about veterans, you know, benefits. Issues, or if we go to war. And I find that they're hungry for it almost.
Yep. Well, I asked General Dunford the question. I said, if something, a war, a conflict has, you know, hit us tomorrow, would the young people be ready, like the people of World War II or Korea? He said, they'd be ready. First thing you do is throw the phone away. They'll be ready.
He said,
they'll be ready.
And he should know.
Yeah. I mean, he's been there for a number of conflicts. And it's
Now, remind me, Jim Dunford's from this area, correct?
He grew up in Quincy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a Quincy guy. He went to BC High. He's a local kid. He lives in Marshfield now. And his father was in Korea, and his brother Michael was in, not Vietnam, I think he's not that old.
Mike, yeah, nice, full colonel.
Yeah, yeah, Afghanistan.
Middle East,
yeah. That's a relative military family.
Yeah.
And one quick story, I knew the father. He was a superintendent of Boston Police for years. He's a Joe also. And I was at his house in Marshfield, and I said to the general, I have a nice picture of, you know, you, and I have a nice picture of the dad.
Father, yeah.
And he says to me, do you know what it would be like to have World War III around here? And I don't know, where was he going with this? I don't quite understand what the question is. He said, if those two pictures get in the book, without my brother Michael, there'd be World War III. Well, I didn't know Michael. I never met him until that time. And Michael appeared in the book, this picture of dad, Michael, and Joe.
Yeah, that's a nice
picture. I said, I'm not here to cause World War III. You know? Yeah. But the way he said it to me, World War III, yeah. What is a man talking about? You know? Do you know what it'd be like? Well, I can understand that.
Now, where can I get this book? Is it Amazon and usual places, or is there...
Not yet. It's a website that there's a store in Dorchester called College Hype. It's a memorabilia. They do shirts. They do everything all over the country for people. And it's called...
MyCityGear.com.
Yeah. Just three words, MyCityGear.com.
Okay, I'll have that link in the Oscar McRae show post.
Yeah.
I went by there and checked out the Irish Pastoral Center.
Yeah, it's right beside
right
it.
Next to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. It was a funny... the ladies put me in the right spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's right next door. She said,
Mary Swanton.
Yeah, Mary Swanton. Yeah, go next door. He has sold a lot of books for me. And it's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's amazing that he's got a big following, you know. And I have to say, I'm happy. I'm surprised that the reaction has been so big, bigger than I expected. And I've only done dripping advertising here and there, just popping. But it's carrying itself very well. So we'll be about 3,500 copies were sold now. We're coming into that.
Oh, very nice.
That's a lot of copies
yes,
of a
it is.
Book like that.
For sure.
The average sale on a picture book in this country is 125 sales.
That's it?
That's the average, yeah.
So this really connected with people here and their families and the memories that you captured.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And I my next book project I'd like to do once I finish this project is to honor the Gold Star families.
Oh, wow.
That would be my next project. Because I think it helps this book. It's like a sister book to
it'd
it.
It'd be like a sequel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a sequel. And I think that, you know, we used to be referred to as Gold Star mothers, but now they refer to as Gold Star families because fathers and children are affected by it also.
Absolutely.
And I've got probably 40 names already. Every time I mention it, somebody emails me, you know, which is great. And it might be a harder project to do with pictures because, you know, if you leave some family member out because he's traveling.
You have to gather them all up at the same time.
Gotta stay together at the same time.
Could be scattered about, too.
So they could be scattered, you know. And, the mothers, I met several of the mothers at this book signing, so I'm doing it at different events. And then right away, when I tell them I'm doing that, they slide up to me and say, here's my number. Give me a call. Like, okay.
That they're referring to the book, though.
At the time, I think they were. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was maybe they want to meet me personally.
Oh, okay.
I am single now. You know?
This is a family show.
It's family, yeah.
Well, he's your wingman, I guess.
Oh, he's been the wingman. Oh, yeah. He's done a good job. We're very proud of him. You know?
Very nice. Very nice.
It's been a great. It's been a great project, and as I say, it was a mission. It was. I never thought it was going to go like this. I had no idea where it was going to go. But as I could start to see it halfway through, I said, I think this is going to be okay. This is going
to
be...
So, to go back a little bit, if you had no idea where it was going to go, if you had no outcome or end goal for the project, why did you start it then?
Well, it started from a luncheon. Paul Wahlberg is one of the Wahlbergs,
okay.
His brother, Donnie's brother. We had a lunch at his restaurant in Hingham with my friend Jack Daugherty, owns College Hype. R.J. Valentine, another close friend of mine, and Jim Fagan was there. And Paul Wahlberg said, did you ever consider doing something about veterans? I said, not really. He said, well, that's a, you know, a group of men that should be recognized. Next day I started. Louis Pascali was my first subject.
Yeah, Luigi.
Luigi. Yeah. And that's how it started. It just, you know, and they'd all say, how's it going? It's going pretty good. I got about 12 done already. Oh, really? Yeah. And it just kept going. All about the hell.
And you still enjoy the craft. You still enjoy the creation process.
I'm lucky. I'm a very lucky guy. I have, every day is a challenge. The question is always asked of me, what's your best picture that you've taken? And my answer is I haven't taken it yet. I'm still looking. I'm on the hunt for that great picture.
Yeah, I didn't think, looking at the book, that you had a favorite, because to your point, they all seemed important.
Well, that's what I try to explain to them all. Everybody, you know, when I come to their home, they'd say, why would you come to my house? I was only a corporal. I said, well, you were very special because you were part of a team, and that team was successful. Oh, okay. You know, then they kind of, all right, you know. You know, some of them said, I'm going to be in with generals, you know, and these big guys. I mean, it's just me. And I said, well, you're a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's so true, you know.
Well, how can people connect with you all if they want to learn more or have you come speak or just understand the work you all do?
Well, you can get me on my email is BillBrett1@verizon.net.
Okay.
And you can get me on Facebook, Bill Brett Boston. You know, I'm easy to find.
Yeah, he's easy to find. Yeah.
I'm easy to find.
He's usually out. Just how do you keep track of him, though? Because he's out everywhere.
That's what my wife says. Yeah. She says, how come you guys are about the same age? And you're like, and he's, hey, come on, let's go. You know?
I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I've always been like that. You know, my wife would always say that he's out somewhere. I know he's out somewhere. But she says that he always comes home.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky, you know.
Yeah.
As my wife always said that if we ever get divorced, my wife would keep the house, which is wonderful. And she was telling this a friend of hers a couple of years ago, I could still sitting on the chair. She's laying there listening to her. And she said, Bill, we'll keep the summer house. And this woman, Patty, says, where is your summer house? She says, in the driveway.
It's the car.
It's his car. He's always moving on it. This woman didn't know where the summer house was.
Well, the book is Boston Veterans Appreciation, photographs by Bill Brett, forward by General Joseph Dunford, Jr., afterward by Rear Admiral Gary Ball, U.S. Navy retired. Paul, Bill, it's just been a real pleasure and honor to talk with you.
Well, it was an honor, and I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to talk with you about this book, because you were one of the advocates for promoting the veterans. And I feel that this is appropriate for you and I to talk.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's just I've learned so much, and I think it's my sons will appreciate something like this more than
I hope they do. Yeah. I'm sure they will.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
We had some fun, Paul and I, finding houses and address and
we had a lot
come
of
to the house, and the person says, "Well, no, this is we're looking for so and so, 35 Spring Road." He said, "This is not 35 Spring Road." That's on the door. It says 35.
Yeah, the guy was in a bathroom.
He's in a bathroom. And I said, "Well, with all fairness, though, there's two Spring Roads in the town."
I came back to the car. Yeah. I said, "That's not the right house." The guy said, "It's 35." He said, "Bill says, what's it say on
Let's
the door?
Say 35." It's big numbers.
The guy saying, "This isn't 35." I said, "See you later."
But it was another Spring Road in the same town. It was on the Cape.
Oh, we know.
And we're laughing at each other. Jesus Christ, is this thing going to be, is this for real? And he was pretty adamant about it. You got the wrong house.
Oh, God.
Isn't this 35 Spring?
That's where I got out of
right on it, 35.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Holy God.
So we had some fun, you know, the left to right. Is it left? No, it's on the right, you know, left to right.
The other guy, I would tell, to the women mostly, you know, who was your favorite? I didn't have a favorite. But it was Morrissey, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, General
Morrissey. He tells me, and I'm talking with him after Bill takes his
Korea.
Picture, and he's in there, and he was in the Navy. And he says, he says, I was 18 to 21. I was on a ship all the time. I never had a girlfriend in 3 years from age 18 to 21. He said, and imagine that for a young guy, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, that'd be tough, you know. And he said, yeah. He said, but we ended up in San Francisco. I had 3 days to go, and I was taking the train, he and his buddy, back to Boston. And his boss or the chief petty officer, somebody said, I'm sitting there as close as you and I, Travis. And he says, yeah, yeah. So He says, you guys, you two guys, you got 2 nights and 3 days here on leave in San Francisco. And then you got to get on a train on Wednesday morning and head back to Boston. Okay. So I said to him, so Richard, I said, what did you do in the 2 days and 3 nights you were in San Francisco? And he thinks for a second and he says,
he winks to you.
And that was it.
He winked.
I looked at him. He says, do I need to say anything more? I said, no.
No, you're all set.
No, you don't.
That was so funny.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, the way he winked, he goes like this.
He just gave me the big wink.
Well, hopefully he was successful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me, so. Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah.
It was a great 3 years. It was long, 3 years. I had to pull the plug at some point because it had to end. And, you know, people were saying, when is this book coming out? I mean, from the time I took the picture, people would be asking me. So it was a lot of asking, when is that book coming out?
Yeah.
But we're still working at it. We're still working at it. You know, a lot of people don't understand. You know? But Tom Kelly, as I started earlier, who was a Medal of Honor recipient, great, great guy. And he was Navy captain, Vietnam. And he said, he called me there a week ago. He got the book. And he said, Bill, I don't know how to thank you. I mean, you know, coming from somebody like him, and he said, if you need any help, you know, I'm there for you. You know, it's just really nice.
Well, just looking through the book and some of the people that I've met before, like Sean Campbell here, I've known him quite well.
Oh, yeah. Did you know? I had a long talk with him.
Nice guy, you know.
He was a Marine.
Yep.
He was an big advocate.
Oh, my
advocate.
God. I know. Andy McCauley from New England Center.
We've
done some stuff together.
I bet you know a lot of guys in there.
You'll know a lot of guys in there.
Now, those two guys there, there's a story in there. I put those two guys together.
Oh, really?
You'll read that in there.
Yeah, it's a nice story.
And then Joe Dunford's foreword, he writes about that one particular picture, and he says a very poignant story about Doc Cassidy. He was a good pal of mine. In fact, he's coming up here in a couple of weeks, staying with us a couple of days. He lives in Vermont. He was a corpsman in Vietnam, and this one of the guys whose names who was on the monument in South Boston, Gold Medal Park, is Donald Turner. And Cassidy, he and another guy came a dozen years ago, come up to visit me, and we're driving around. I said, you want to go see this monument over in South Boston? Sure. One was a Marine, the other was the corpsman who attached to the Marine. So he looks, and Doc Cassidy says, Jesus Christ, he says, I was with this guy. That was with Donnie Turner the day he was killed. I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, and his wife had a baby in December of 68. Donnie was killed in January of 69.
Never saw the son.
Wow. So I said, well, did you ever try to contact it? It's so chaotic back then. And then I got out and went up to Vermont and all that. So I started doing a lot of digging, you know, and I find this guy. I find the son. Through his wife, former Donnie's wife, and I sent him an email, and I said who I was, and I said, Doc Cassidy, Navy Corpsman, was with your dad when he was killed in Vietnam. He would like to meet with you and tell you what kind of Marine his father was. And I get a note back in about a week from him, the son. Dear Mr. Doyle, I would love to meet up with Doc Cassidy. So I drove up. I met in a parking lot of a Target store in Reading. That's where he lived. He's a property manager somewhere. And he gets out of his car. He tells me what he's driving. I get a big, good-looking kid there. And we drive to New Hampshire. Cassidy came down from Vermont, and we met in this restaurant. And Cassidy has some stuff, pictures back in the jungle with his father. And he says, let me tell you, so your dad was, replacements would come up and the sergeant would say, you take the point. And, you know, scary part, you know, new young Marines. And he'd say, I'll take the point. And things like that. And they looked up to him and all. And he says, and the day your father was killed, he says, there were six guys went this way, six guys went that way. I stayed with this group, a patrol. And we heard there was an explosion. We were running over. They hit a tripwire. All six were down. He's telling the son, he says, four were dead, including your dad. Never knew what hit him. There were two guys left. One of the guys, Bob Mannion from Albany, New York, was down. He said one of his legs was over there. The other one was just hanging. And he says, I leaned over Mannion, and he didn't know about the other guys. And he says, that leg's gone, Bob, but I'm going to try and save this leg. And he looked at me, and he said, forget me. Save Turner.
Wow.
And the son looks at him, and he says, what? What did he say? He said, save your father. Well, and Cassidy says, yeah, you're thinking right. If I did that, if your dad was still, and I went over, he'd have died. And the kid starts crying.
Yeah.
I start crying.
Pretty emotional.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, and since then, this was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I see him every year. And he goes, he brings his kids to the Gold Medal Park in September for the Vietnam Veterans thing. And we go, I had dinner with him last year with his mother and all that. And kind of formed a little relationship. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was something. In the foreword, Dunford references that. He says a very poignant story is, you'll see, and he writes in the poor Doc Cassidy.
Doc Cassidy, yeah.
And about Turner, and writes a little bit about that, you know. And
it was nice. It was really nice. Did a good job in that.
Oh, that was, that was great. Yeah.
I just appreciate getting to see other veterans' service, realize what they've done, and then they come back and, you know, start families or get involved with the community here, and they almost serve again. You know, Tommy Lyons is a perfect example of that. Andrew McCauley is perfect. Sean, all those individuals not only serve their country, but continue to serve in some form or fashion here. And I think the thing, you know, closing this out is, you know, Paul and Bill, they won't be forgotten.
Yeah,
because of your book, they will not be forgotten. Yeah. Well, I think that's the important thing.
That's the message I'm trying to bring out to these, you know, families.
Make sure you read my latest poem that's in the book there.
Yeah,
I'm going to read it, and I'm going to voice it. I'm going to make it part of the show.
You won't finish this book in one day. So it's a book that you can pick up and put down, because it's a good story.
I know all the captions pretty much,
but I reread them. I read it again.
And sometimes I read some of them, and I say, did I write that? Then I think, well, maybe not all of it, because we had an editor, Carol. She was great, though. She's great fantastic. And I'd send her everything that I wrote, and then she'd make it look like I was pretty smart.
She made you look good.
She made me look good. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Travis with Oscar Mike Radio with my guests Paul Doyle and Bill Brett, photographer, you know, archivist extraordinaire, if you will. Gentlemen, just again, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Travis.
I can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah, I'm excited next, but I got to finish this, get this out there. I have a whole year to sell it, and the way it's going
good.
It's going good. I got no complaints.
Absolutely. We are Mission Flight. We'll see you next time. Thank you again.
Every generation, every sacrifice. Our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister-1 production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.